A More Beautiful Life podcast, recognizing, appreciating, and integrating earliest life experiences. There are times in our lives when we all yearn for something. More contact with others, a special relationship, a better job. More time to oneself, more respect, more love, more support, or well, anything. It can all be summed up in wanting a more beautiful life. You just fill in the blank for what equals beauty for you. My specialty is healing our earliest traumas to discover our truest nature. I've been working at understanding this paradigm for a long time. Since 1999, when a client remembered her birth during a craniosacral session. She explained to me that she felt healing her birth experience would relieve her lifelong depression. That experience took hold of me with such passion so that years later I'm filling in the gap between our ancestral past and our present lives with recognition of our earliest life experiences starting preconception. It involves appreciating how we adapted to our difficulties and then integrating any overwhelming experiences into our current lives. Welcome to A More Beautiful Life. This podcast includes luminaries from the fields of infant mental health, prenatal and perinatal psychology, colleagues and experts in trauma resolution, advanced body workers, clients who want to share their stories, authors of pivotal books and articles, and people who, in my opinion, have sought out a more beautiful life. Join me, Kate White, and our honored guest as we explore a more beautiful life. Enjoy. Today on the show, I have Marina Ferro. Marina identifies as an indigiqueer Chicana daughter of a spiritual artistic mother from Chihuahua, Mexico, who taught her traditional medicine, a Chicana musician and engineer father from the borderlands, and a mother to indigenous mixed-race children and grandchildren. Marina is the owner of Phoenix Midwife and the founder of Indigenous Birth, an umbrella organization for diverse advocacy and health justice projects that affirms the importance of traditional indigenous midwives and assembles initiatives and coalitions nationally and internationally. She is also a sometime podcaster and public speaker and writer. Marina has served as consultant, facilitator, board member, executive director, and midwife for health justice projects in the U.S., North America, Central America, and Uganda, facilitating policy initiatives on public health responses, indigenous immigrant reproductive and primary health care access, education programs, birth centers, development, and workforce development. She is a founding member of the Phoenix Allies for Community Health, a free clinic primarily serving immigrant families, a direct result of her active street medic work. Marina is the past president of Midwives Alliance of North America and worked in a dedicated coalition with national midwifery groups for the United States Midwifery Education, Regulation, and Association. Marina is a culture of health leader, advisory board member for Birth Detroit, team leader for an POC midwifery learning collaborative in Arizona through a project initiated by the Institute of Medicaid Innovation, working alongside Native and immigrant communities on reclamation of birth sovereignty and planning essential convenings for midwives and healers. She is a practitioner in somatic experiencing with advanced certification in prenatal and perinatal period as part of her dedication to traditional medicine and healing. Marina is the past director of organizational wellness with Birth Center Equity and is currently under fellowship. She plays many roles besides the multiple projects of Indigenous Birth, focusing primarily in facilitation with Breath of My Heart Birthplace, the only native-led, nonprofit freestanding birth center in the United States, Center for Indigenous Midwifery, learning Indigenous data collection in partnership with the Firelight Group, and working with her traditional teachers in Mexico, learning traditional medicine, and creating artistic and medicinal resources. And today I'm here with Marina Ferro, who is a midwife, an Indigenous midwife in Arizona, is one of my graduates from the IPPD program, and is in the faculty track, someone who's wanting to learn to teach the work. And she wears so many hats. It's wonderful to have you here. Welcome to the show, Marina.
Oh, thanks so much, Kate. I appreciate you and just this opportunity to just have a little conversation today.
Yes, it's a conversation, and it's a chance for people to get to know you. And okay. You just came into my training program, and it was just nice to have you, and somatic experiencing trained, and a midwife, and someone who actually works in social justice, and I know you do a lot for women, a lot for midwives, and a lot for Indigenous people. So I'm wondering if you could just let people know, and also just to name that I'm talking to you from Virginia, which is the unceded Monacan territory. So just to honor the people who have been here, and that's kind of, and are still here, people that were trying hard to support the Native American people, Indigenous people of the Americas, through the work that we're doing together. So I'm wondering if you could just introduce yourself a little, Marina, and get people know
sure.
you.
Yeah, so Marina Farrell, and she, her, Aya pronouns. I'm in the unceded territory of the Akamil Atam Hohokam and Pipash peoples here in Arizona. And I also claim relatives and family along the U.S. and Mexico border, along with the Yaquapaski folks. So there's a long tradition of the borders crossing us. And so there's a lot of, there's just a lot of territory in Arizona where I am that is really, truly so vibrant still with the sovereign nations of the Native people. I've been a midwife for over 30 years, and I am licensed in New Mexico and also in Arizona. I'm a certified professional midwife, and I started my practice here in Arizona in 2003. But prior to that, I was really intending on going into political theory. I love politics and political theory. And just through a lot of lucky coincidences, I ended up deciding to go to midwifery school. And I grew up with midwifery. I grew up with traditional healing. My maternal side of my family were very much influential in my life. My mother was a healer, and she knew how to use plant medicine. She was also very spiritual. And my grandfather was a true outdoorsman, very much into the outdoors. And so I feel like I really carry all of my ancestors within me, and that it was just, I was chosen to do this work, just like I was chosen to be a part of your classes and get to know you, and, this divine connection that we have, Kate, for this work. So I had a practice, I still do, but I don't actually catch babies anymore as of 2021. And I'm really focused on consulting and facilitation of people of color around the nation and in Mexico who are working on reclaiming birth in their communities. So whether it looks like establishing access points of care, like a birth center or a easy access clinic, or whether it's leadership development or education, I'm just working a lot in those sorts of expansion of workforce efforts. And I also am working on personal stuff expanding my own ceremonial offerings. And I get to work with a beautiful organization called Birth Center Equity. I'm one of their fellows, and they actually are also working with people across the nation in things like wealth, community wealth, and creating more ownership around the work that midwives are doing. So, owning birth centers, but also like leaning into what it means to be in this community well situation with your community. So whether it's like expanding whole strings of birth centers or, ensuring that your own wealth and your own livelihood is doing well, because midwives, as you know, we often will do a lot for very little. And
Yes.
so that's kind of what I'm doing right now currently. And then, of course, somatics. So I started my somatic training in 2019, completed my program. I'm actually still in the final phases of turning in my paperwork, but I am there technically, and then working with you, Kate, which has been really wonderful.
Yeah. Well, we're doing some exciting work together in Arizona. I mean,
Yes.
I just want listeners out there to know, like, Marina put out the call and said to, indigenous midwives. And I think if I remember correctly, you told me that you only know about 50 who are practicing in our nation. Is that right?
That's a guess, and that might be a high guess, honestly. The last time that I saw anything written about the certification process for nurse midwives, the American College of Nurse Midwifery, I believe, had around 70 that had taken the exam. I don't know the number for certified professional midwives, but I'm assuming it's not that many. And maybe 10, 15, 20, I don't really know. And we're talking about tribally affiliated, land affiliated native peoples. In the diaspora of indigenous people, there are many more, but I think for our tribal relatives, there's very, very few practicing midwives, whether nurse midwives or community-based midwives.
Yeah, I just remember feeling so humbled by how few. I mean, I don't
Yeah.
even know how many midwives there are practicing in the US, but I feel like, when I heard how few, and then like you put out the call, you just said people come here and learn this. And they came. And
Yeah.
they came not for me, not for my program, but for you, they came. We trust you, these women, these powerful indigenous women whom I got a chance to meet and took them through our introductory course, the foundations course. And so it was definitely wonderful to be with you and all the women who practice on the front line of helping indigenous women and all women really to have babies. And so I'm wondering, Marina, if you could give listeners an idea more, I mean, I have a little bit of a window into the things that you do and the life that you have, but why is this birth equity so important? And why is working with indigenous populations so important?
Wow, so many reasons. I think that for me, the answer always goes to the most central part of culture, which is the connection that traditional people have with the land and with ceremony and with one another, as people who have been through historic things together, but who have this like really, really like so in the DNA connection to their ancestors and to the land. And there's also a lot of memory loss. And so I think that I do a lot of work in North America, and I really love it, because I think about the different ways that Indigenous healers and Indigenous midwives work in Canada, Mexico, and the United States, and like how vastly different our histories are. And when I think about the United States and the importance of this work, to me, unless there's a return of people's traditional healing and people's traditional ways and their midwives and their healers, I feel like it's really difficult to make all of the ends meet again, to bring back really true health in the way that it looks for each community. Because each community's definition of health looks a little different, And so in the United States, we're generations of no indigenous midwives, traditional indigenous midwives. And even if you ask the elders, what they remember about their midwives, really often it's still storytelling. It's maybe like their mother might have had a birth at home or birthed with one of the other aunties or birthed, with their partner or whatever that looks like. And so I think that with this memory loss, it's been replaced by the brutality of our American healthcare system. We do know through research that American Indian, Alaska Native statistics really show that they're the most mistreated, even though we know that Black bodies in this country die so much more than bodies that are not Black. We know that for Indigenous people, the mistreatment is really, really high. And so's the, you know, there's always been a history of taking away the babies of, Native people, and that still happens. Even during COVID, there were stories of that happening. So the trauma is really very present every day. And so I think that by returning people's community member power of healing and that knowledge of healing, and reminding people that there was a time that birth looked different, that it was community-based, that it was ceremonial, that you were surrounded by your loved ones, surrounded by your ancestors and your songs and your music, that birth can look different and it can be healing and it can be safe. And that's the start of shifting something, I think, for me, for people that have had a lot of loss of their, their traditional ways. So that is number one. Number two, right, is just that by saving the lives of people of color and really focusing on equity work and birth, everybody's births get better. Everybody benefits from this work. And the Black midwives really are, they're so powerful in this understanding of reproductive justice and birth justice. And as they lead the way, they really inspire, the rest of us doing equity work to sort of think about how we can be stronger in our positionality around the way that we're treated when we're birthing. And I think, one of the things that COVID showed is I remember during COVID, like the outcry, like people who weren't people of color were so worked up about getting separated from their partners to birth or all of the conditions that COVID, imposed on them. And my feeling of like, this has been going on for people of color for always. And I think it opened up this window where equity work was understood in a different way when it came to birth and reproductive justice. And I think through like people understanding that dollars, funding dollars going to this work, the impact that it's making right now, like this is the moment, whether you're a funder or whether you're somebody like me that's fundraising all the time for community work, this is the moment where I think it's making one of the biggest impacts. And as a midwife, I think that there's also historic trauma for midwives in this country. And so I think if we start with also acknowledging our own broken hearts, our own pain, and how we cope not only as people of color with the loss of our traditional ways, but also with the loss of this art of midwifery and the fact that the system in this country could care less about midwives, then we also have to own up to the fact that we have work to do around our own emotional healing, around our own mental health, things like that. And so, for all of those reasons, I think that that's why I'm doing this work.
Wow, it's wonderful to hear that, all the layers of this experience. And I want to get us down into some more of the details, really, because I feel like for those out there listening, I got a chance to be held in this community of Indigenous midwives while I was training them in the building blocks, the basic skills, as we call it. And it is a different feeling. I don't know, Marina, if you know how different because it's your life, it's how you live. But I do feel like, it was wonderful to come and have there to be an ethos of sharing, of holding, of being together, even through challenges to be held, and to have there be a respect, especially for you, Marina. Really, I really felt that when I was there, but of each other, of holding each other, and a real core, a desire to work together to make things better. So it just really, and I feel like for those people out there listening, like, what does it really mean to have this threat during birth? And that when it comes to really understanding obstetrical violence, which is what we're talking about, how people are mistreated, how women, I think, but female identified bodies are really mistreated during birth, and how they're tr it, how to how it is to be like separated, as you say, from your loved ones, but also just to be, I mean, mistreated, really yelled at, called names, not listened to, sometimes really clearly not listened to, or people to make dehumanizing comments about you and your process and your babies, and I mean some of the details. I just want people to know, like, it's really common, especially for the Native American and Indigenous, identified people, and the fear that can come up as they go into hospital to have their baby. One of the sto I heard some of the stories at our gathering of women, not during COVID, but after COVID, before COVID, just coming into a hospital system. There's a lot already in their body about how is it going to be here in this hospital. It's not really run by Indigenous people. So, I don't know if there's anything more you can say to listeners to try and grok, like what really is it like and why this work is so important.
I mean, I think during our time together, we talked about, that the hospitals have, during COVID especially, had like zip codes. And if you were at a certain address that's a native community, then you definitely had a higher chance of your baby being in the NICU and taken away, and so many things. And that, but that's so ongoing. And when I talk about memory, I also talk about the settler memory of forgetting that within the within a like in Arizona, how many sovereign nations are here in our country? There's so many in Arizona. There's so many tribal sovereign nations, and we sort of forget that we exist alongside these communities, these sovereign people, and that they're having an experience, and that their experience, is very similar to the experience of people coming to this country from other countries, for like the immigrant experience, is that there's a so much family separation that happens, and the lack of access because so many folks live rurally. There's such a huge lack of access to care, and also like just that cultural safety piece, which is really important, I think, for whether you're whatever color you are, right? But I think especially for people of color, this the safety pieces of birthing in a hospital when there has been so much historically done to the bodies of Black and Brown people, that it really is not safe. It really is not. I mean, that's without a doubt. And so I think for Indigenous midwives wanting to do this work and serve their community, and you talk about the incredible women in these trainings, like, oh my gosh, these are leaders, these are Indigenous leaders
Yes, they
that
are.
are that graced us, really graced us with their time, and that are so busy but are coming because they understand that they have a role to play as midwives. And I think this learning around, what you have to offer, what you have to teach us, Kate, I think it bridges that memory for us because we know these things. Patricia Gonzalez ha happened to come visit us one day while we were there, and she talked about, oh yeah, Indigenous people, in her book, she talks about this. But maybe that's true, but I think so many of us have forgotten. And I think that there is this like bridging that's happening as you teach us these things that enables all of us to go back to our communities, whatever our community looks like, and to remember ourselves, but then to also bring back that memory. And then, of course, with those babies, it's the start of that opportunity to make those memories, come back and blossom again.
Well, I do feel like there are opportunities within Indigenous ways to strengthen the connections in the family and in the community. Like for people who come with my like from my background, English, Irish, and coming to this country and then having that the ethos of this individual family, we don't have that the same history that you all have in this country, the original people here, First Nation. And I know what that feels like too, having lived in Africa, and know that that's also an ethos there, that there's a family lineage and it goes back and back and back. So it's restoring. It sounds like some of the things I brought were familiar, but they come from, I don't know, understanding energy, which is I teach that energy. But the Indigenous ways have definitely understanding bigger, greater, wider sort of spiritual aspects of the work that translate into our bodies and into our gestures and into our ways we do things. And I gotta tell you, I mean, I've been teaching this a while, and to be in circle with all of you, I could feel it. You can just feel it. And you can just feel the, it's a difference. There's a difference in working with you, the people that came, those midwife leaders that came when I was in circle with you. And I really want to appreciate like the health. Like the how do we restore the health of the people with these birthing practices and these native ways that might strengthen the health as opposed to like fracture it even more.
Yeah, because within the container of the communities, so what in these containers of communities, there's so much health. There's so many good, beautiful things, that are never talked about in the narrative of the health of people of color in this country. And it's because it's like this context of, people working in a very broken system, also racism, how they are looking at community health when it's not their community, and just really ignoring like all of the incredible things that people of color are doing in their communities and like traditional things that people of color have always done that are truly like so much healthier than what the system has imposed on us, and that so many, unfortunately, communities have also embraced this like more brokenness approach to healing and wellness. So yeah, it's definitely that's definitely a piece of it. And yeah, there is, like I said, I feel like I think about like the immigrant history of midwives that have came to this country as well from from Ireland and all those places, and even what that history looked like, where in Europe it there like midwifery is very vibrant in Europe, and here nothing, and so it is true that that most midwives are not people of color, but there still is a brokenness around midwifery that I think that your program is really important to just kind of bring all midwives of every color, to remember their dignity and their worth and their strength and all of that.
The with woman aspect, we would call it the with how to restore health with woman, with the woman, midwife with woman.
Yeah, midwife means with woman, yeah.
And I'm wondering, like, I know we don't have a lot of time this morning, but I wanted to ask you if you could give the listeners like a one example of how the health is restored through helping Indigenous midwifery. I mean, I think I have an understanding of what you're talking about, but I would love for people out there to hear what do you mean, and just just one thing, because I know there's a lot of them. Give an example for people. Can you do that, Marina?
An example of just one thing that,
How the health, how supporting Indigenous midwives and then midwifery and helping families in this way
yeah.
it represents, there's a health that's there that comes forward. Because I feel like many people of color, whether they're what, no matter what color they are, if they're not the sort of standard, white cisgender person out there, they are protective of their identity and who they are, and they're careful. Much they have to be in our world of the United States, unless they are in a community where they have already an understanding of this. And I've seen it at play, like in Jenny Joseph's clinic in Florida, where she makes it really clear, that you go out and you meet the person where they are, and you have an environment that shows that multicultural aspect, and you honor the family. You have a way of welcoming the whole family, not just the birthing person. And I'm wondering if you could give an example of something that you've seen that represents the health of the Native people, that is like something that you're bringing as part of your birth justice equity, the equity programs, or the Indigenous programs that you're supporting.
Yes. Okay. I would love to answer that. And I also just really quickly, since we were just talking about midwife meeting with women, just really want to honor our trans and queer relatives out there. There are lots of midwives also doing trans and queer health.
Good.
And yeah, and so yes, just wanting to do a little love shout out to our
Thank
trans and
you.
queer
Thank you.
relatives. I think that for me, when I think about the work that I'm doing, I really do believe that midwives and other people that are doing birth-related work, who are serving their communities, are really called. It's to me, it's a spiritual calling. It's really a calling to do this work. And I think that there is this knowing that, there's that saying, peace on earth starts with birth. I think that there really is this knowing that if the way that somebody is supported during birth can really change the world, and we start with just this family unit, and within this family unit, somebody has a beautiful birth, and that person and that person's baby are forever in a different path. They're just on this different path. So I think that with traditional communities, and I think that with traditional communities that really still have a sense of ceremony and that still want to be strong in their sovereignty, part of the reason I do this work is because I actually cannot do the work, but I can offer opportunities to people who are doing the work, people who are community members that want to shift something in the way that their community thinks about maternal health and wellness and birth and reproductive health. And so by doing this, as you know, one of the things we talked about was like, everybody's going to do this different. As one of your students, I probably will take all this knowledge that you've shared and do it different. And every person learning does it different. And that's the beauty, I think, of the work that I get to be a part of, is that it's really just about supporting people doing so much for their own people, that it gives us a chance to really support those leaders. So it gives us a chance to support, I know I worked. I always tell people I probably worked for 15, 18 years for free. Most of these people don't make any money. It's really just about the love of community and like every cent and every emotional piece of this goes into this community. And so I think it's like such a huge investment to be able to work with people who are touching so many things in their own communities and who are the experts, right, of their own communities. There's I love that Birth Detroit, who's one of our one of the people that Birth Center Equity got to partner with. They have the saying that we're not asking permission to save our own lives, and I think that that's they probably got that saying from another incredible Black leader, but I'm really thinking about that because I think that we have to step out of the system, and the people who are choosing to step out of the system to try to offer better systems of health within their own communities need as much support as they can get to do that. And it's like this, like stair-stepping, because I feel like you have a person who has this beautiful birth, who's not separated from family, who still has ceremonies or is remembering ceremonies. I know of families that I've served where I remember this family where there was this father who really wanted to make his baby a cradle board and had no knowledge of it. It hadn't been passed down to him, but he was aware of it. And he did so much work during the pregnancy. It was almost like he was rebirthing this knowing around how to do a cradle board. And he went through all of the steps of cradle board work. And he was with this organization that I had worked with at the time. There were Native midwives there that were able to serve this family. And that connection of being able to watch these Native midwives interact with this family and care for this mother and really talk about and uphold these traditional ways. And then also to see this father that's really involved in this reclaiming of ceremony and tradition and what it means for his place in his community around this work and for his child. And then his reaching out to his elders and learning. And then they have this beautiful birth that is so rooted in everything that they know in their community. And then the ways that that has branched out, you know, him offering workshops on cradle board and her talking about her experience and those midwives actually that served this family, for those midwives to be like, oh my gosh, we did it. We did a birth in our own ways, in our own traditions. And then as that family shares with the community how that branches into that community, and maybe someday will affect change at this tribal level, which will then affect change at the federal level. But more than that, also affects change in the environmental level. You know, the International Confederation of Midwives right now, they're really thinking about how midwives impact the environment. And I think there really is this like umbilical cord of connection around that, that as these communities get stronger, then the earth starts to get stronger and healthier, you know, and then there's equity on all levels, whether it's gender equity or, you know, health equity or whatever it is, it starts to all just get better, you know. And so I think that that's why it's so wonderful. It's such a blessing that I get to be a part of this in North America with all these midwives that are, you know, really dismissing this idea of borders and really thinking that they're is connection for us on this continent? And what does that connection look like? And how do we share our knowledge and our knowings? Because the Canadian Indigenous midwives have so much support. And the Mexican midwives, Indigenous and non-Indigenous in Mexico, they have no certification, no licensure, but they have thousands of traditional midwives still practicing. And then you look at this country where midwives have no support. And there are no, hardly any tribally affiliated, you know, land-based midwives practicing. And you have to understand that it's also the borders here. And so by us teaching across borders and across nations, then the teachings they go wider, you know. And so that's one the other part of the benefit of all of this too.
I almost feel like calling a pause listening. Thank you
Ah,
so much, Marina. I
thank
feel
you.
like that's a really wonderful place for us to stop just now. But what I'd like for you to do is just to describe a little bit, like you are now what your the or name of your organization, and you're also doing a gathering of Indigenous people. So if you could just talk about how people can find out about you. And then
Yes.
this Indigenous conference, which I think is also something you have pioneered, correct?
Well, So I always like to say, I'm sure all of our ancestors have done this before, but last year we held a conference called the Indigenous Birth Conference, and it was really born out of this, first of all, inspiration from the Black midwives who are doing gatherings all over the nation, you know. And it's really focused on like this collective sense of like, how do we save our lives, you know? And so I think for me, I've done so much work and around event planning, and I was part of other organizations that have also held events, and I just was inspired to have an Indigenous conference that centered Indigenous midwives and Indigenous student midwives. And so the beautiful opportunity came up through some funding that I had gotten from Maricopa County last year, which is our county, our biggest county here in Arizona. And we put on a conference. It was small but mighty. We had 110 people at the conference. And the crazy thing was that, you know, we had not thought it was going to be that many people. And so we picked sort of a small venue. And the first, we did one Instagram post, one. And the within like, I think it was the first 3 days, we had over like 140 people register, which was way over what we had even thought. We ended up not even doing any other promotions or anything because we had so many people, which really told me that the need for gathering, the need for this gathering space for Indigenous midwives and student midwives was so overwhelming. And then also, you know, this definition of Indigenous is really broad. And it's, you know, there's really truly a need for tribally affiliated, land-based Native midwives to have a space that's so protected and that is so, where there are no people trying to extract knowledge from them in their space. And it has not been honored, really. You know, Indigenous people always have to meet in spaces where there's so much extraction. And so that was one thing. And then also knowing that in this country, we have lots of immigrants. We have a lot of people who identify as Indigenous, who maybe are not Native American, but who have ancestors who were, or people from like, you know, other countries that are here that identify as Indigenous midwives. And so it was this lovely opportunity just to bring everybody together. And so the importance of this is that when we all met last year, we had, you know, panels on birth center, how to start a birth center in your community. We had a whole queer and trans workshop for people around reproductive health and birth care. So many incredible speakers, so many networking opportunities, a real cocoon for the students, because being a student midwife is already hard. And then you add on top of that, being from a traditional community makes it really harder. And so the opportunity for people to come together is so important. And so that's why this conference is going to be happening in next May. So it's a year from now, May 1st through 4th, 2024. We're welcoming speaker proposals right now, and sponsors. We would just love to have just, you know, some good sponsors so that we can really offer lots of scholarships to people. And so that's a really big piece of the work that I'm doing as well with this conference.
Yeah. So people can go to you on
Oh,
the internet,
thank
right?
you. Yes, indigenousbirth.com. And we're also on Instagram. If you just Google Indigenous birth Instagram, it should take you right to our Instagram page. And also just you can find me at Marina at indigenousbirth.com, and I spell my name with an H, which is different, but or info at indigenousbirth.com.
Well, I'll make sure the links are in the show notes so that people can find you. I do would like I'd love for people to, to donate, support, sponsor anything to help do this restorative and protective act for
Thank
helping
you.
Indigenous people in our country, and also get just to get to know like what is actually happening out there on the grounds, because it
Thank
is
you.
somewhat horrific. And we really need to, to step up as a culture, America. We need to come in here and do better.
Oh, Yes, and I really have to end just by so much gratitude again, going back to all the Indigenous midwives doing this work, and that they take all the credit. They have all the credit for this work and for the healing that they want to do in their communities. And then I also just, shout out to Birth Center Equity that I'm one of their fellows, and they've really supported my work. And also Elephant Circle, who is a nonprofit. They focus so much on birth rights and birth justice. They're based in Colorado, and they are our fiscal sponsor, Indigenous Births fiscal sponsor. And so it's really this incredible community of just a lot of people coming together to bring about, more equity in birth and joy and all the good things, and to uplift that, the joy and the incredible work that all of us are doing in our communities.
Well, thanks for coming on the show today, Marina. And I'm wondering if you could just say, like I ask all my guests, what makes your life more beautiful?
Yes. So I think what makes my life more beautiful is that I really believe that that my center is cosmic. I really think that there is this connection to creator and to the cosmos, and it drives me every day. And I think that when I have a moment to remember that, I just think it's everything,
Yeah, I agree. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kate, for everything you
Okay.
do.
I will. Thanks again, Marina, and we'll talk to you again, I
All
hope.
right. Thank you.
You've been listening to A More Beautiful Life podcast. To support our show, please go to Patreon / A More Beautiful Life.